Well, I mentioned it this morning. John chapter 9 is a parallel thought to Mark 8, a different healing, but the same malady of blindness. And John goes into quite a bit of detail here in this regard. It tells us really the purpose for the miracles of Jesus and why Jesus healed. It was not just a one-level thing. It was toward a spiritual end. And a lot of matters are clear from that here. So let's start at verse 1, John 9. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, "Is not this he who sat and begged?" And some said, "This is he." Others said, "He is like him." He said, "I am he." Therefore they said to him, "How are your eyes opened?" He answered and said, "A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and I received sight." Then they said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Therefore some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, because he does not keep the Sabbath." Others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him, because he opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked him, them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age, ask him, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory, we know that this man is a sinner." You really can't make up the Pharisees. I mean, you can't make this up. They are so absolutely foolish that a fiction writer, this isn't in the text, by the way, if you're still following, a fiction writer would have a hard time making a character like these people. They are so blind, and they keep talking like this. Verse 25, he answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Then they said to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing. that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins. You know, as opposed to the Pharisees. You were completely born in sins. And are you teaching us? And they cast him out. And Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? And Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remains. Let's pray. Lord, what a wondrous God you are, and one who brings such joy. Lord, the joy that we will have when we stand in your presence, cleansed by the blood of Christ as we are, to be able to stand in front of a holy God, to be forever in bliss because of your grace. Lord, all of our problems, all of our trials, all of our sicknesses to be taken away, even one day as our sins have been in Christ. And Lord, the joy that will rise from us. And Lord, it will not be a joy that will be of the kind that is despised by others or is desired to be limited by you even. But Lord, you welcome and provide the highest of the heights of our joy. And Lord, rejoice in our joy because of the kind of great God you are. And we thank you for the story of this man and for the perspective it gives us. And Lord, may we understand it and rejoice with him. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the perks I had, I say perks in quotes, of working in the warehouse in Minnesota, I was a receiving clerk in my early 20s after I graduated, moved up to Minnesota. Can't remember why I moved to Minnesota, but there I was up there in Minnesota. And I was working, trucks would back in, and I would unload them on the medical side of it, the medical, I'm not sure, can't remember exactly, but we'd put things in storage, on little items, and that was my side, and so they would pull in, and I would do that. And one of the perks, quote-unquote, was a WDGY country. I thought I was going to go crazy for a time. I don't know, country music's okay. I mean, it's good. Just that station, it was on all the time, and the songs, it was. I just got really, you know. Later on, they had a different station they were playing, and really, I started missing the country station. but it played, and one of the artists at that time, and this was in the early 80s, was Ronnie Millsap. Ronnie Millsap was born blind, and so he was being interviewed one day on the radio station, and the question I thought was a very interesting question. Someone asked him, what do you think color is? And you know, color to us is, we know what color is. It's, you know, but if you're blind, you can feel objects, you can tell that something's a certain shape, even a face is a certain shape. You can hear, you've got your other senses, hopefully, but color. And he explained that he didn't know, and it was hard for him to grasp, but he thought it was kind of like this. And I don't remember exactly what he said, but it was not even close. It was not even close. He was saying it was some kind of a texturing thing. It was, you know, what he described as, if you put that before people who know what color is, they would not know what he was talking about. And it was because he's born blind. And some people are not born blind. I wonder about the guy this morning in Mark 8 because He saw men like trees. He knew what a tree looked like. He was cognizant of that, and he was a little blurry about it. But he might have lost his vision. You know, that happens, a disease. But there's a thing with being born blind is you've never seen. And you awaken to a world which it can be described to you to a certain degree, and you have no idea what it's like. And for a man to be healed of blindness who's born that way, we're not fixing anything. It's not that in this particular case in John 9, the man could see at one time, and then he lost his sight. Sometimes that happens from a vitamin deficiency. I heard of a man one time went to get his wisdom teeth pulled out, and he was blind. And when he left, he was able to see. That doesn't usually happen, but I heard it happened before. Probably his optic nerve and somehow was affected. I don't know how it was connected. But to heal someone who was born blind, we see that in verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. Jesus, in this case, this morning we saw that, as often happened with Jesus, people sought him out. He was pursued for healing, and they did that this morning. This is Jesus passing by, and he sees this man who was blind from birth, and his disciples have a philosophical question, a theological, philosophical question. Why is this man blind? Now, the question doesn't make a real whole lot of sense, but the thought is he's blind, so somebody must have done something wrong, or he wouldn't be blind. So the two most likely candidates is the man or his parents. I'm not exactly sure what the man was going to do to be born blind. Kick his mother too many times in the womb? I don't know. The question doesn't make sense. What did this guy do while he was not born to be born blind? The parents, that's also a very unbiblical thought, that God would punish someone else in this way for the sins of another, and the baby not even been born. But Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. So Jesus exposes that the plan is that this happened for the glory of God, for the works of God. We believe in a sovereign God. We believe God is sovereign in all things. We believe God ordains all that comes to pass. It doesn't rob men of their free agency, of their responsibility, but that God orders all matters as he sees fit. And he ordered that this man be blind, and the explanation is so that the glory of God should be revealed in him. And then Jesus said that we must work. We, the Greek text says, is the way it's rendered here, must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So he sets up the healing that way. I'm here to do things like this. I came for this purpose, and I'm going to do it for a certain time. And the time will come when I don't do it anymore. It's a bit of a veiled urgency that we get this now. I'm to the point where if I have to do something like in 15 minutes, I can't say, well, I'll think about it in 15 minutes. Because you know what happens in 15 minutes? What was I supposed to think about? I don't know anymore. So you got to make a note of it. You got to start it going. You got to do something to make sure that you do it. And people believe in regard to spiritual matters, which the Bible says, by the way, we are blind and dead and deaf, and we have no feeling, and we have all these maladies spiritually. And they always talk about they're going to do something with Jesus at some later time once they hear about him, and then they'll make a decision, they'll go over it, they'll weigh all the pros and cons, and then one day they'll come to a conclusion, and then preferably in their mind at the time, toward the end of their lives, they will receive Christ. And I'll tell you, it'll never happen. I say never, it could. But anybody who comes and says like that is really playing on the edge of eternity. Because what they're saying is it's up to them. They'll just one day decide. It's all a human interaction. And spiritually, they'll be able to just pop the light into their soul. And they don't have light to pop into their soul. Jesus is the light. And while Jesus is shining the light, you better take it in then. If tomorrow Walmart says we're going to give away some free lawn tractors, we might do this from now on. We might just keep on doing it from now on, and Lowe's across the street there, they've decided to do the same thing. Do you think people are going to say, you know, honey, Lowe's is giving away lawn tractors? They said they might do it for years. I think in a few months I'll go over there and see about that. Well, they're in the truck calling back saying, I'm on the way to Lowe's to get the lawn tractor. They don't mess around with an offer like that. They go and take heed to it. And Jesus here says, I'm in the world for a little while. And while I'm in the world, I'm going to do works to bring light to the world. And the time is coming when that's gone. And it's gone now. As far as him being on the earth, our world, our country is running deeper into darkness. It thinks it knows where we're going. We think we know where we're going in this country. And the farther we go from God, the brighter we think we have a life ahead of us. The wiser we think we are. And boy, what good would it have been back there when the light dawned the first time? And this man had never seen the light. And here Jesus is coming. And so he makes clay on the ground. He spits on the ground. This morning we saw he spit on the eyes of the blind man. He spits on the ground this time, makes clay, anoints the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and says to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Just, you know, some faith healer right now is copying that in his notes, how to heal. Spit on the ground, make clay, rub it on your eyes, go wash in the Edisto River, and come back seeing. And if you do that, give me all the credit because I gave you the answer. If you come back blind, don't blame me. You didn't have enough faith to believe. You see, it's not the method, is it? Jesus used a different method this morning. He touches, sometimes he says it from a long distance. The power is Christ's power, not the method. So he did this. And you talk about a condensed version of the joy. Verse 6, you could have a whole show about that. Wouldn't you love to see that? I always think maybe in heaven we'll see videos of these things. And so we're not given any of the wonder here in verse 6. Just he went and washed and he came back seeing, verse 7. He'd never seen before. He came back seeing. What a joyous time. And so the neighbors noticed it, verse 8. And they said, is not this he who sat and begged? And you see the different capacities of neighbors. We all have probably neighbors like this. I mean, nearby or down the road a little bit. You got those who are right. This is he. You got those who are wrong. No. it just looks like him. They're just as confident as the other group. And then you got the man who says, yeah, I'm the one. And so they're very curious, as neighbors can be. What? How were your eyes opened? And there's a certain amount of just astonishment here. How were your eyes opened? And he says how it happened. A man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and I received sight. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. Really, this chapter at this point is settled. It is done. I went and washed. I was healed. This morning we had just a few chapters, five verses. The man was made well, and he was healed of his blindness. And we didn't get the aftermath, but the aftermath is extremely insightful. Because now a wonderful thing has happened. There is a law on the land from the Pharisees that we cannot confess that Jesus is the Christ. We saw that. We see that in this passage. So everybody's afraid. And they trust the Pharisees because the Pharisees are the religious elite. They were the blindest of the blind. But they're in charge. They had the rule. They had the seat of Moses and all of that. And so this is interesting in the current events, because the crowd now wonders whether the Pharisees mean to keep that law in place after what happened. And never underestimate, as we see in this passage, never underestimate the blindness of a Pharisee, because they just probably in this chapter go overboard in proving how much they're in darkness. And so they go to the Pharisees. They brought him to the Pharisees. He went along, probably excited to tell somebody else maybe how this happened to him. People like to tell what happened to them. They like to tell some good thing. Whoever won that big lottery back a while ago, hundreds of millions of dollars, went on all the shows, and then they said, please respect our privacy. They went on all the shows. They went on the morning shows, the Today Show, just everyone, please protect our privacy. Well, another way to do that is to keep your mouth shut. Well, people like to tell, and so he's in a good sense here. He's going out. And so they get to the Pharisees. And the key thing here is not that the man was born blind, not that he was healed of his blindness, but that it was done on the Sabbath. That was the problem. Jesus already, many cases, pointed out the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the work that they did on the Sabbath. They would go and get their cow out of a ditch if you fell in on the Sabbath, and he wouldn't violate a thing, wouldn't think a thing about it. But here now, a man has been healed on the Sabbath, and they, in their infinite enlightenment, were asked about it. And verse 15 says, they ask again how he'd received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes, and I washed, and I said, you know, you're not going to put that one over on the clever Pharisees. They know that won't work. They know if they make clay and put it on somebody's eyes, they're not going to be made well. They're not going to be able to see if they're blind. So they came to the conclusion right off. They were on to this character, Jesus. Verse 16, they said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. You know the Sabbath law, thou shalt not cure blindness on the Sabbath. So they violated that. So, you know. And by the way, that's the same thing if you're a Gamecock fan and you say no Christian can pull for the Clemson Tigers. And so if somebody does something good and somebody has a good testimony, then if a Gamecock fan says that man is not from God because he worships, he pulls for Clemson Tigers. Well, that disproves it. This is what they said. It was that foolish. Their Sabbath was of their own making. It wasn't of God. Acts of mercy, things like that. They cared nothing about individuals. They cared only about their legalistic standard of righteousness. That righteousness had to be worked from the outside in. And to do that, they made Sabbath laws, which were not the Sabbath law, but the Pharisaical additions to it, so that they could count credit points and put little gold stars up by their name because on the Sabbath they did this or that. It's like Lent in the Catholic system. I laid off, you know, shooting my machine gun into the houses next door for Lent. Oh, what a great credit for you. Well, it's not in the Bible in any way. It just makes people feel like they're doing extra and going over and above. I gave up coffee for Lent. I gave up, you know, driving for Lent. It's meaningless. So they gave up thinking for the Sabbath. Because the fact that Jesus healed on the Sabbath, he couldn't be from God. But others now are having a problem with that interpretation. How can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. I think even among the Pharisees, maybe. We know Nicodemus was a Pharisee, and so I mean, even the Pharisees had some in there probably, but the others in the crowd, this doesn't sound right. So they said to the blind man again, "What do you say about him? Because he opened your eyes." And what they're hoping he says is, "Well, he's just a, you know, I don't know, he's a magician. He's like one of these Egyptian magicians. I saw him over there. He's got a little storefront thing over there. He's got a big hand up there. It says palms red. That's who this guy is." That's what they're hoping. But he says he's a prophet, which would mean just basically he's a messenger from God. But the Jews did not believe concerning him, verse 18, that he had been blind. Well, there's the solution. You weren't blind. You were never blind. What's this hubbub? This guy comes into town, says he was blind, and what a show he put on. He laid out there begging for years and years to pull off this scam. And now he pops up and says, "I can see. It's all a fix. It's all a setup." And they didn't believe him. I mean, it says they did not believe until they called his parents. And they asked their parents, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How does he now see?" His parents said, "I don't know how he can see. He's our son. He was born blind, but I don't know by what means he can see now. I have no idea. He's of age. Ask him." We're told that they did that because they were afraid of being thrown out of the synagogue, you know, disowned in their religion, unable to do the things which they considered to be pleasing to the Lord. And so they said, you know, ask him, he's of age, verse 23. So they call the man again. This is what we might call interrogation. Ask until he says what you want to hear. So they ask him again, verse 24. "Give God the glory, we know that this man is a sinner. You tell us that you were healed without this man. Give the glory to God. Let it be straight from God. Something you did. You recited the 10 legalistic pledges of the Pharisaical religion. Anything. Just give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner. You've got to get him out of the equation. You've got to cancel him out. Give glory to God. Don't talk about Jesus." So that was their next solution. And he said, the blind man who used to be blind, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know." And he really didn't know who Jesus was here, it seems. "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." That's the kind of statement they make songs out of. You know, I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. So then they said to him again, what did he do to you?
What incantation did he bring up? Did he dress in black and call to Beelzebub to heal you? I mean, give us something to work with here, they're saying.
How did he open your eyes? He said, I told you already. I already told you. And you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And he's getting testy now. It's obvious to him. It is a very simple thing that's being made complicated by unbelief. Here's a very simple thing. We look outside, see all the beauty of nature. How did it come about? Well, the Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth 6 days, rested on the seventh day, spoke them into existence, and this is how they are. Very simple. Then it gets complicated in unbelief. Because once a person doesn't want to believe any of that, they got to come up with something else. And the thing they came up with was, of course, that all this came about completely natural, totally without God, without any kind of creative power, just happened to be there. It blew up. The Big Bang Theory, it all blew out there, started coalescing, circling in, and it's a wonder that it was made into what it became, all the wonders of the stars and the planets. But on top of all that, we came about from it, blowing up. And here all this time in all of our lives, we've been told that if you blow something up, it destroys it. And now we find out that it makes things. I wonder how many scientists are, you know, can't afford a new car, so they're out there blowing things up until one just appears. But you see, you don't get life out of blowing things up. And it's a very simple thing. And now it's become so complicated that you have to explain away why there's no evolution today. You have to explain why, if we evolved, that we're not evolving now into, you know, different beings and getting on with it. Or why there's no fossil record of evolution happening. So they have to come up with macroevolution, and they have to come up with all these other theories about why this happened. And why is there order? How can there be order? Well, you know, how does our stomach make acid that doesn't cut through our stomach? Well, the thought is we just learn how to do that. After it blew through a few stomachs, it just figured out how to do that. And it gets crazier and crazier and crazier. And it's all very simple. Kids know. If you teach a child that Jesus made the heavens and the earth, Jesus the Creator, God spoke into existence, and they understand that. But they made it so complicated through unbelief. And this is what the Pharisee says. He's right out there. He says, well, he made me see. He's a prophet. Do you want to be his disciples? And verse 28, they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciples. And you can see the looking right down their noses at him. They're the big shots. They know things. This man, we know God spoke to Moses. For this fellow, we do not know where he is from. That's true. And the man answered and said, well, this is marvelous. This is really rich, that you do not know where he is from, and yet he has opened my eyes. You know, you're supposed to know these things, he says. You're the elites. You're the ones who know about spiritual matters. Here's a miracle, and you don't know where he's from, and yet he opened my eyes. Now, we know God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God, he does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You know, this is what we said back, what Jesus said back in answer to the disciples in verse 3, that neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. This is the man that is putting up a firm defense for Jesus. Jesus chose well in the design of this miracle, that this would be the man. And this man is standing up and saying, if he were not from God, he could do nothing. And they said, you were completely born in sins. And are you teaching us? And they cast him out. You see, they're saying they know and you don't. We know and you're stupid. We know the Moses and you don't know anything. And you're giving us this drivel about how this man is of God and you don't know anything. And they threw him out of the synagogue. That was their authority. They'll show him. We're Moses' disciples. We know about Moses, this man there. And no matter what Jesus did to those who were blind, unless their hearts were opened by the grace of God, this is how they reacted. Jesus, verse 35, heard they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? And here's the purpose. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe in him? And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. This man was healed of blindness twice in one day. Because the first thing was just the entry to the second. He was blind and his eyes could not see, and that was solved by the power of Christ. And then he was still blind in regard to who Jesus was. And he says, who is he, Lord? And Jesus said, I'm the one. I did it. And I'm the one. The one who is talking to you is the Son of God. And he says, I believe. And he worshiped him. And then Jesus explained this whole matter. Verse 39, for judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind. He came to open the eyes of the blind. Why? To bring people to repentance. We saw that in Matthew 11. The works that were done, the miracles that were done, if they'd have been done in Tyre and Sidon, Jesus said they would have repented in dust and ashes, in sackcloth and ashes. But here the miracles of Jesus are poured out in front of you and you don't repent. The point of the miracles of Jesus is to bring repentance and faith, belief in him. They're not just to be spoken of as a nice Bible story. It's to bring repentance. And Jesus says, I've come for this purpose, to bring judgment, a judgment upon the world, that those who do not see may see. To overcome the work of the devil, and that those who see may be made blind, to confirm in unbelief those who will not believe. In the light of such a miracle. And so the Pharisees wondering, you talking about us? You talking about us? Verse 30 or verse 40. Are we blind also? And you know, they say this is a rhetorical question. Are we blind also? Well, of course you're not blind. We know all the Bible verses and we know all the things we've added to it. And we've gone to the schools and we've gotten all these degrees and we do all these special things like tithe salt. We are the uppity ones. You know, you talking about me? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would have no sin. That means that they would have humbled themselves and confessed that they were blind spiritually and had been forgiven. But because they do not believe they have any loss of vision, we see. We know the things of God. Therefore, your sin remains. Their pride. And really, when you get down to it, unbelief is pride. It's the unwillingness and the resistance to admit that you're a sinner and that you have the need of a Savior. And as I said recently in another section, if you do not want Jesus, you will not have him. But if you realize that you're wasted, blind, then just like people do, they run to be healed. And the Pharisees remained in unbelief, and so it happened with most of them that they went that way all the way to the grave, thinking they could see, but blind. We're not very high class, sophisticated. We got a little bit of education among us. We know things, and we see things every day that this world just scoffs at Christianity, scoffs at Christ, and scoffs at the Bible, and we know it's not true. But they're up there in their ivory towers, and they're saying, we're the smart ones. But if we say we can see, our sin remains. But if we are blind, and you know, when you come to Christ, that is what you're doing. Lord, I have been blind. I did not see this. I did not understand this. I didn't know about my sin. I didn't know about your mercy. I didn't know about the gospel. I didn't know about the judgment. And yet, I was blind. Lord, forgive me. That's what you do. And your sin goes away. And that's the point of the miracle, is that Jesus, in his power, heals the physical to show that he can heal the spiritual counterpart and bring us eternal life. Let's all stand. David, would you dismiss us?